Well, the skirmish between the U.S. Border Patrol and a small band of people this weekend led to an extraordinary temporary shutdown of the San Ysidro port of entry. It is one of the busiest in the world. Word of the shutdown traveled fast, and many folks trying to enter the United States from Mexico headed to the next nearest border, which is a smaller crossing at Otay Mesa. Now, for one afternoon, the usually sleepy Otay Mesa port of entry was transformed into a different kind of scene, one of worried people hoping to make it back across the border. Here's KCRW's Carla Green.
The line to get into the U.S. starts between a car wash and a row of shops. It snakes around on itself, running through a park and alongside three lanes of cars, also in line for the border. Everything is at a standstill. As new people line up, a kind of ritual forms. They crane their necks, searching for the end of the line, before realizing that it stretches far out of sight. Then they return to their spot, dejected and sometimes laughing at the absurdity of it.
What are you estimating?
Alex is an engineer who lives in San Diego. He didn't want to give me his last name. He crosses here about once a year, and it usually takes 10, maybe 15 minutes, he says.
Yeah. Where did the line start?
You can't even see it from here, but it was way over there.
Everyone here agrees. The line is longer than usual. Information about why it's so long, though, is patchy. Reports of the U.S. Border Patrol firing tear gas and rubber bullets at some migrants around San Ysidro quickly became international news. But the headlines and pictures haven't reached everyone here, even though the Otay Mesa port of entry is just 6 miles from where the drama is playing out at San Ysidro.
Yeah, but...
Noemi stands in line with her daughter, Jocelyn. She lives in San Diego and visits Tijuana every weekend. Comes down on Friday, goes back Sunday night. She's heading back early because she's heard about San Ysidro. Wants to make sure she'll get back across.
But I have all my family here in Tijuana.
Noemi has been following what's going on with the caravan. She has some thoughts. It's the government's fault, plural, she says. Mexico and the United States both.
Yeah. Well, I think this is very unorganized. And I feel that all what is happening right in the border, it's and all about the caravan, is I blame the governments. It's not the people who are in the caravan.
Her daughter, Jocelyn, chimes in.
If they want to close the borders, they can do that, and that's just it. You know, there could be a potential for us not for permanently not being able to come visit our families, like we have been able to do for a very long time. And unfortunately, that's sad because, you know, we have lives in both sides of the country.
As the sun sets, an informal marketplace of goods and services coalesces around the line. A woman selling popsicles out of a small cart, a man with a pastry tray, a churro stand popular with the Mexican federal police standing around near the border. And a couple hundred feet from the U.S. Customs building, a musician, guitar and harmonica strapped around his neck, tapping a tambourine with his foot. His name is Jesus Arroyo, he tells me. Look me up on Facebook. But despite the line's almost festive atmosphere, Paul Bumstead is worried. He's a middle-aged guy from Boston, holding a battered yellow Louis Vuitton bag. Glasses hang off his nose, the prescription sticker still stuck on one lens. He just moved to California recently, he says. Actually, to Tijuana. He's been living over here, where it's cheap, commuting to San Diego to work as a day laborer.
I mean, they left this one open, but, you know, what's next? They're going to close this one, too, and then have no way to get back into the United States?
Are you worried about that?
Yeah, I mean, what would I do? I'd be stuck over here, and you know, I have no way of supporting myself over here.
For KCRW, I'm Carla Green.